Sigmund Freud actually made a statement about psychoanalysis, and he said the purpose of psychoanalysis, this is at the turn of the century, the purpose of psychoanalysis is to turn hysterical suffering into normal human unhappiness. That was the purpose, the goal. And if you achieved that, that was a good thing. Now, human evolution, you know, has moved forward, admittedly for some of us, slower than we would like. But there was a turn in Western psychological thinking with Maslow's work where there was a recognition that there's more than just human unhappiness. There's a possibility of self-actualization, and people can operate from higher levels of themselves. So that was a new important stream. And then recently there has been research going on into the effects of emotions, such as appreciation and gratitude, on brain function and neurophysiology. And it's very significant, and we're talking about hard science here. So, you know, in some ways, everything gets fuzzy in the New Age, like everything is love. And so I'm not talking about that part yet. I'll talk about that part when I get over in that area of the stage. Right now I'm talking about hard science, and I'll give you references. Those of you who are analytical, logical, sequential, and want, I'm going to give you some resources you can go to. I'm going to go through it very quickly because not everybody's interested in the science. But it's very important, I think, to ground this. Because what science is saying is that when you make a change in your emotional state, you change the biochemistry of your brain and you change the functioning of your physiology, your organs, your systems of your body. One of the key researchers in this is the Institute of Heart Math, and they have shown that the heart, and we're talking about the heart chakra, their research is on the physical heart. The physical heart has two major nerves called the vagus nerves that go up from the heart, physical heart we're talking about, up into the two temporal lobes of the brain and can affect brain function. And they discovered that when you have certain emotions, your heart rhythm changes. Very complex harmonics of the heart wave change, and they are related to emotions, and that it has effect on how you think and how you process. So if you're interested, they have a huge website, lots of information, called Institute of Heart Math. Essentially, what they discovered was that when you are in a state of appreciation or gratitude, you are more creative, you solve problems better, and you are more intelligent. When you are in a state of frustration, you are more stupid. You are less creative in your problem solving, and the various indicators of your intelligence decrease across the board. So that's very interesting. I've noticed that in myself. I don't know if you've noticed in yourself. For instance, my computer is one of my major love-hate relationships. And I used to have a giant, I got one of the first Epson computers that came out. It was a humongous thing, and it sounded like a Hoover vacuum cleaner when you turned it on. And it had 100 megabytes. Whoa. And when I got frustrated, I would, do things. I don't know why it is that when males, actually, I'm actually going back to a study that was done in psychology where they studied male babies and girl babies before they were socialized. And they were watching cartoons on a TV. And the girl babies, when the cartoon went off, would sit there and try to fiddle with it, and then it didn't work, they would cry. And the male babies would go up, and when it wouldn't work, they'd bang on it and kick it. Our brains are different. I mean, it's just a neurological fact. There's nothing we can do about it, folks. It's what we got to live with. So I would hit my computer and curse at it. In fact, this is a true story. As I said, all the stories I tell you are true, although some of them are hard to believe. I thought I was in the house by myself. It was a very large house that we were renting, and my mother-in-law, former mother-in-law, was living there, not living there, thank God, was... My heart rate just changed, and my neurophysiology just got altered. She was visiting. And so I thought I was in the house by myself, and... the computer was not doing what I wanted to do, and I started banging on it, and it still didn't do what I wanted to it. And so then I started cursing at it. And I said things like, I'm going to break your freaking neck and throw you against the freaking wall if you don't freaking work. So my mother-in-law, unknown to me, gets on the phone and calls my former wife at the time and says, you've got to come home quick because somebody's in the house and they're threatening Tom. Yeah, it was one of my sub-personalities. So, in another field of research, because science is really exciting if you can get through all the globby glob. There's a language that you have to get through. But when you get through the essence of what's going on behind the language, there's exciting things happening. There's a renaissance taking place, explosions of information. So in another field of inquiry, completely separate from Institute of Heart Math's work, is work in immunology. Now, when I started in this field, it was called psychoimmunology. Now it is called psychoneuroimmunology. The more important it gets, the more words they cram into it. So now it's much more important, psychoneuroimmunology. Back in the world of psychoimmunology, which was in the early 80s, it was debatable whether or not emotion affected brain chemistry and physiology. Well, now we know it does. So there were some studies done in the field of immunology, psychoimmunology, where they tested for immunoglobulin type A, which is, I want to be clear, it's not the whole immune system. It's one small piece of the immune system that happens to be measured, shows up in the saliva. So that's why they use it for testing. Why? Because it's cheaper. You don't have to do a whole lot. You just put a swab in, get it, and measure it. And what they found was, fascinating, for every 15 minutes of frustration a person experiences, their immunoglobulin type A will be suppressed for a period of time up to 24 hours. Now, I don't know if you ever experienced frustration in your life, but what the research says is that every time we experience frustration and indulge in it, we are increasing the production of harmful biochemicals in our body, period, end of sentence. Regardless of what the story is, what the reason is, just pure physiology. Every time you experience appreciation or gratitude, your system produces helpful biochemicals, to put it very simple. We could get much more complex, but I won't. So let me give you an example. The other thing that's been found is that what you believe to be true will change your neurophysiology and your chemistry in your brain, even if it's imagined. For instance, do you have anybody who annoys you in your life? If you have to encounter that person and you know you're going to encounter them, and it's a few hours before the meeting when you're going to talk about something difficult, and you start to imagine that, what happens to your neurophysiology? You start getting tense, uptight, especially if you imagine taking out a knife and stabbing them. On the other hand, what happens if you're in love? Everybody went, mmm. This entire side of the room, for those of you who went, mmm. You're going to meet you're going to have a tryst with your beloved, and you're not even with the yum-yum yet. But just thinking about the yum-yum, what happens to your neurophysiology? Endorphins start to be produced, and you start feeling really good, and you haven't even been with the person. It's all imagined. So it's very important to understand that what goes on in terms of your mental, emotional experience changes physical reality in your and my nervous system and body. So back when the early days of all of this work, when I formed Acoustic Brain Research in 1983, which was because I was working as a psychotherapist, and I discovered that sound could actually help people move through their emotional clearing faster, I started Acoustic Brain Research. It was a research group, informal, with researchers at different universities and labs around the country, to look at how did sound affect the brain. And I asked an artist to create an image. I gave her what the image was, and she painted it. And this is what came out of it. This was the image for acoustic brain research. And it applies here to what we're doing, because notice he's wearing headphones, and he's going down, and he's listening to a universe, the sound of the universe. But he is creating, it's actually he, she, it's an androgynous figure, could be male, female. He, she is creating a universe, because that's what you and I are doing every moment of our lives, whether we see it or not. The Maya of this world prevents us from seeing that you are creating the universe of your body at this very moment. There are things that happen to us, and we have stories about why we're the way we are, but neurophysiology, psychoneurology is very clear. You and I are creating this melange of biochemicals. So we are affecting it by how we interface with the physical processes through our thoughts and our emotions. And so this is the pineal gland. I didn't know at the time how important that was going to be. It was back in 1983, before I even met the friggin' Hathors. You were uninvited guests, by the way. And what I mean by that was when they showed up, I was working as a psychotherapist firmly over here, firmly anchored in rational thinking and happy, thank you. And they came over and opened the doors and showed me a whole other world that I did not appreciate at the time. It took many years for me to get to that. I'll talk about that in a bit. So the pineal gland is here, and this is the thymus and the heart center. And it's the linking of the brain and the heart and the creation of a new universe. And he's listening to the sounds. And I'll put, you can come and take a look at it during the break or whatever. But that's what this represents. And that's what we're doing in this work. So a little more, I'll put it up on the front when we're done. Let me take a break, so you can take a closer look at it, those who want to. A little bit more hard science, then we'll start going into woo-woo land. So Maslow said, well, and discovered that, in fact, you can people can operate at higher levels than unhappiness. It's a potential. We don't have to be unhappy. And so then there, recently out of Harvard, there is a new field of psychology called the psychology of happiness. Now, up until this point, psychology has dealt with pathology. When somebody's unhappy, miserable, what is called insane or whatever, that's what psychology has focused on. Well, Dr. Siegel at Harvard University said, well, what would happen if we looked at happiness scientifically? What is it actually occurs for people when they become happy? Separate from religious and spiritual dogma. In other words, what does the innate human do to become happy? And that's what they looked at. And so I would send you to, if you're interested in this, you go to the Harvard website. And he's right there, Dr. Siegel. And what they have found is that there are certain commonalities. And one of the commonalities is that people who are happy choose to experience appreciation about things in their life and express appreciation to others. Two common denominators. There are other things as well. The Institute of Heart Math, if you go to that website, will give you techniques for actually stopping destructive emotions and how to shift into a more creative, resourceful state. And then the other piece that I want to mention is here in Seattle, is the Gottman Institute, and this is from the professor emeritus at the University of Washington. And his research has been in healthy family relationships. What's the difference between a happy family and an unhappy family? Again, independent of economics, independent of religion, spiritual beliefs, all that stuff. Just looking at it clearly, scientifically, what are the commonalities, what's different? What he discovered was a family or a office family system. Because, you know, when you have a group, you have a family. Because Virginia, I love what Virginia Satir said about families. Virginia Satir was a brilliant, brilliant family therapist. She said, there is no such thing as a family. There are strangers living parallel lives. That's what a family is. So what Dr. Gottman discovered and his wife were that in a happy family situation, there needs to be a minimum of a ratio of 5-to-1 communications of appreciation to negative communications. So it means for every negative communication that's given from, say, a parent to a teenager, there needs to be at least 5 positive. And the happier the family, the higher the ratio. So it's interesting. Bottom line, how you think and how you feel, how you choose to feel, is a major factor on your health. And no matter what the state of your health is at the moment, when you choose, and that's the operative word, choose to experience appreciation or gratitude more, your bodily systems will improve and your intelligence will increase, creative problem solving will increase, and it's scientifically a fact. This is not New Age. This is not New Age fluff. This is hard science. Now, I will move over to woo-woo land. So, as I said, the Hathors showed up. These are interdimensional beings, and I'm not going to talk a lot about them, except what is necessary to understand the work. But I experienced them psychically, and I see them psychically. They're not physical, because they're in another higher vibratory rate. And they started teaching me about brain healing and consciousness through sacred geometry and sound, and I had been involved in acoustic brain research for 10 years before they ever showed up. And when they showed up and gave me this information, I thought, well, this is really important stuff, but I could not accept where they came from, said they came from. They said we came from another universe, on the other, that we came through Sirius. All right, thank you for sharing. You know, I'm over here. This is where I am. And here, DSM-3. Now, that tells you how far back it was. DSM-3, psychosis, seeing things that aren't there, hearing things that aren't there. Oh, my God, I'm having a nervous breakdown. Meanwhile, they continued to talk. And one of the things that they were trying to get me to understand was the importance of appreciation or gratitude. So let me clarify what I mean here. For me, appreciation means you appreciate something, you like something. Gratitude means more appreciation. But then I got an email from a neurophysiologist several weeks ago. And he pointed out that for him, appreciation was superior to gratitude. And this was his reasoning. Appreciation means to appreciate the qualities of something that deserves attention. So appreciation is about, oh, that's really nice. I see the subtle qualities. I appreciate that. Thank you. That's appreciation. Gratitude is, wow, thank you, dude. It's a total global thing. Now, I think these two polarities are expressed wonderfully, in most cases, between canines and felines. Those of you who have dogs and those of you who have cats. Dogs live in a state of gratitude. You walk in the door. Oh, God, thank you for coming. I am so happy to see you. If you have a, will you take me for a walk? Oh, my God, I would be so helpful. I would just love you. I love you so much. Yes, I'm so happy that you're here. No. Yes, I am. A cat is different. A cat is not into gratitude. A cat is more about appreciation. Or not. I see that you've come home. You are, by my estimate, 5 minutes late. I hope that you got the cat food I like in the cans and not those frickin' bags. Because if you got the wrong food, I might have to scratch you. Oh, you got the right cat food. I think I'll come over and stroke you once with my tail. That is appreciation. So take your pick. No. Gratitude or appreciation? It doesn't matter. Neurophysiology, back over here in science, says gratitude or appreciation will do it. It doesn't matter what you choose. So you can pick your style, appreciation or gratitude.